Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, June 14th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 25, paragraph 2, which begins, "The great fact is justice and nothing less." Reading through just one paragraph, ending with, "We could never do by ourselves." The reference numbers, hold on just a second. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 21,486. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,488. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, Jody, for your service today and everybody on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovering one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Can't hear you, Jody.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you so much. I will now ask Kathy P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Kathy, compulsive overeater. Excuse me. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there has been one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I'm grateful for the to be able to be of service this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathy P. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 25, paragraph 2. I will now ask Dion R. to read the reading and get us started. Thank you, Dion. Dion, press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you. You said paragraph 2 or when there?
Paragraph 2. The great fact is just this.
Oh, okay. Looks 3 to me, but I will go for it. I'll go with yours. Okay. The great fact is that this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences always, which have revolutionized our whole attitudes toward life, toward our fellows, toward God's universe, and toward God's universe. Let me start over, y'all. Sorry about that. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had a deep and effective spiritual experience, which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and toward God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us, which we could never do by ourselves. I'm glad, because I was studying the other paragraph at the other page. Anyway, thank you, God, for this gift of just reminding me how much I balked at even that paragraph, you know, coming into the program. But today, yes, I have a deep, affected spiritual experience. An appendix, too, back on page 567, it will tell you what that spiritual experience is, and it'll go into detail what it is. And what it was enough for me to know that I wasn't doing everything by myself. It had nothing to do with me. This program, my life, has nothing to do with me. I also am open to learning. I also know that some of my relatives and our ancestors may be wrong about some things and thinking, but it's just okay. Because so we have revolutionized our whole, we have learned, we still learn. Things that they, with the tools they have, had to do, they did the best, and we're learning more tools about ourselves, about each other, and God's universe. And it's just, I love it, because I love learning, and I love God, you know. I was one of those belligerent ones, as most have heard. It went, when I came into the program, I wasn't about no God. You let this minister people, whatever, do whatever. It don't make sense. That doesn't, that's not good sense. But the fact is that I did have a spiritual experience just by following, listening, and keeping an open mind. I saw a brother, a family member. I seen God had changed his life. And through all the tests I had taken him and people took me through, like putting desserts around, see if she really recovered. Well, I did that with him with a certain substance, and I seen something in him that we were so close that I knew he wasn't being fake. It wasn't fake. It wasn't, and I wanted. I was curious, and that curiosity gave me today not only divine love with him and the whole universe, my sisters, brothers, people who I don't even know. I just love, you know, and only God could have done that. You know, I'm no longer held in hostage of self-centeredness. And that's the only thing that helped me keep my food down, was to keep, be open to something new. It's something new. Started with, just try it. Just try something different. Your way, if not, you can always go back to your good old way, Dion. Thank God I did. And I just, and I'm still learning. Yeah, in the program for a minute and still learning and ready to grow a little more. And with that, I will pass. Thank you all for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Dion R. from, I believe, Georgia now. Okay, I will now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph, paragraph 2, page 25. Although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Bessie G.
Bessie O.
Bessie somebody o. G. Bessie O.
Robin
Wendy
P.
G. Robin P.
Starting
Wendy.
I heard a gent-
Bruce E.
Bruce E. And who is the G, the initial G?
Charlene G.
Charlene G.
Yes.
Barbara
okay,
A.
Barbara A. Okay, that's enough for this lineup. I have Wendy B., Charlene G., Bessie O., Robin P., Bruce E., and Barbara A. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, it says we've had a deep and effective which revolutionizes our whole attitude toward life. And it's like I can embrace life and live it fully, you know, instead of hiding and wanting to do things harmful to life, you know, and I've revolutionized an attitude toward my fellows. You know, I can see them as equals instead of always comparing and competing, you know, and I can live in harmony with others. And, you know, the revolutionized attitude toward God's universe is, you know, I see him as the center instead of me. You know, that it's his world to run, you know, how he sees fit, you know, and it's my place to surrender to him, calling the shots, you know, and being the director. And It says the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts. And, you know, He's inside of me, you know, walking this day, this moment with me, breathing me, you know, guiding my thoughts, helping me to know what's the next right action is, you know, enabling me to help and serve others, you know, and it's miraculous, you know, that I can hear His voice speaking to my heart and resonating in my spirit. It's miraculous that I can follow my food plan, you know, that's healthy for my body and gives me stamina for my day's activities. And it's, you know, miraculous that I can feel fulfilled and satisfied, you know, from helping and serving others. And it's miraculous that I can understand and empathize with the needs of others, you know, that I can listen to them with compassion. And, you know, it's miraculous that I can place value on other people's needs and wants, you know, and I can be considerate of their feelings. And, you know, these are just all the things that God's power and, you know, and direction have enabled me to do. And it, I mean, it's truly amazing, this way of life. It's beautiful. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Charlene G., please go ahead. Charlene, press star 1 to unmute.
Ah, okay. Here I go. Correct? You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Okay, good morning. This is Charlene, a recovering compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Grateful for your service. Grateful for this fellowship. I love this fellowship, and I love OA. I love the Big Book, and I'm so grateful that God led me to it. God enters our hearts and lives. I have been experiencing a spiritual experience of a growing, deepening relationship with my God, and I'm realizing just how valuable our work is here, that He is watching over us individually. He's watching over me. He helps me individually. And my program, my recovery, is customized for me. And He's watching over each one of our, I believe that each of our higher powers is giving us just what we need at the time. And it says, because it says to God's universe, I just feel so grateful that I'm being blessed by His universe of this group here, the teaching, the learning that I'm getting, the shares that you give me that are helping me, helping Him change my mind. And I believe that people are cheering for us, that we're being watched over, that we have I have a responsibility to carry a torch, that there are people who are suffering unnecessarily. And I'm so grateful that I at least know that there's a solution. I at least know what I do know. And I believe it's because I get so much hope from your shares. And I just feel strongly that my God is cheering for us, that we have a message to carry, and we're so lucky. And I keep you on my gratitude list. I keep you on my prayers. I am so grateful, and I say that, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Charlene G. Bessie O., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, if you wouldn't mind.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Bessie O., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. There are so many parts of this passage that are just, they're just incredible to me, you know, starting with deep and effective. So what's standing out to me about that particular phrase is, like, you know, if you think about, you know, trees and hurricanes and how the trees that have, like, these deep roots. You know, the wind blows and can almost blow them so that they're completely, you know, horizontal to the horizon, and then they spring back up. You know, and I remember someone describing that to me when I was in relapse after going through something that was difficult in life, and that's, you know, I think that getting to that point, you know, with these deep roots, it's not something, you know, the spiritual experience, it's not something that came through more effort on my part or doing more or figuring out more. But what I just heard someone say, which is through surrender. So it's so it just is so contrary to every message that I was given in my life, which is, you know, or my interpretation, I would say, maybe, of things, which is, you know, do more so that you can get these outcomes. So what this paragraph is highlighting to me is the difference between seeking God's will for me rather than chasing all of these outcomes. And I just had several experiences yesterday where, like, you know, at work, I just always wanted to be, like, peaceful and effective. And as I was, someone who I work with was leaving work, I said, you know, I just said goodbye to her, and I said, thank you, you know, just a heartfelt, like, thank you for your leadership in our department. And I just kind of had to pinch myself because I was always sort of, like, muttering and resentful toward leaders in my department. Like, that is God accomplishing something for me, which I never do for myself, because the best I can do for myself is just this running around. And then life comes along. And usually, you know, life, there can be big things, certainly, but, you know, so often things that led me back to the food were just normal, ordinary life circumstances. Like, I'm parenting teenagers. You know, that there just are things that come up that are just normal life circumstances. And last night, I was just able to connect with my 19-year-old daughter. Oh, I've got to pass. Thank you for your lead. I'm going to pass. I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say. Bye.
Thank you very much, Bessie O from Colorado. Robin P., please share with us.
Thanks, Jody. Thank you, everyone, who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in Alpharetta, Georgia, for the day. You know, I'm just so grateful. We just did this whirlwind trip all through Europe for a couple of months, and in the middle of it, flew back to the U.S. because my father's dying of this huge, massive tumor that came out of nowhere. And then flew back, and now we're here for 2 days and return to Costa Rica. And all of this, like, literally, I could never have done this without God and the program and the steps and God, and just, oh my gosh, so carried. And the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, indeed miraculous. Just, you know, one day at a time, just literally being carried. And what I learned on this voyage through Europe is that no matter what happens, the angels always show up when we need them. You know, when we got robbed in the middle of the night in our camper van in France, the angels showed up. When we had 2 flat tires each time, the angels miraculous. One of them, we were at this campground, this guy walks by and he goes, I can help you. We said, oh, thank you. He goes, yeah, I have a tire store. I've had it for 40 years. Really? Just like all of those things, the angels show up. If I just keep doing the faith walk and working the steps, turning my will and my life over to the care of God and praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. And, you know, just it's literally miraculous. I was a low bottom bulimic and anorexic and a compulsive overeater. I was so low bottom. And to be able to trust God with my food and also participate in that. I mean, I go to the grocery store and I'm a gluten-free vegan. My food is my medicine today and not my poison. And I do my best to eat organically and not eat poison. And so I have to participate and go to the store, wherever we are, and get healthy food. And God carries me. And I'm just so grateful. And we went to a functional medicine doctor here in Alpharetta. I get to heal from something I've wanted to heal from for a very long time, from heavy metals, from a vaccine injury when I was a child. And I get to detoxify my body abstinently. Like, none of that would have ever happened if it wasn't for this program. And I'm just so grateful to God and all of you. I love Vision. I took Vision with me everywhere. It went with me everywhere I was throughout all of Europe. Vision was with me. And just thank you all. I'm sending you all so much love, so many hugs. Thank you to my God squad. And I have a wonderful, blessed weekend, and very abstinent, and I pass.
Costa Rica, Georgia, Europe. Brucey, it's your turn. Bruce, press star one.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. Thank you. And thanks, Jody, and thanks, Dion, and for reading and talking about it. And thanks, everybody that shared and everybody that's on the line. And I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Fort Myers, Florida. Very grateful to be able to share on this tremendous piece of literature here. And I like that where it says the great fact is just this. In other, it's not a theory, it's fact. And nothing less than a fact. That we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, and then it refers us back to the appendix 2 in the back, which talks about the difference between a spiritual experience and spiritual awakening. And this is a spiritual experience, which is a sudden and revolutionary, as it says, revolutionized our whole attitude. So it's changed me. This experience that I've had of just reading this book with another compulsive overeater, a recovered compulsive overeater, has changed me and revolutionized me in my thoughts and my actions towards myself, towards others, towards life, and towards God. You know, that's what it did. That's what that spiritual experience did. It changed my attitude. And it changed my attitude about food, too. Because I used to think food was God, you know, food was everything. And then I tried to get away from it, and I couldn't get away from it. You know, it had me in its grip. But I'm revolutionized, you know, and the attitude is different towards food. So the obsession and the compulsion is lifted through just reading this big book with another individual. The absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts through the third step prayer, through whatever prayers, whatever way it happens, the miracle, goes on to say it's miraculous. How that works, how the Creator comes into the heart is miraculous. It is a miracle. He commenced to accomplish those things for which we could never do by ourselves. I tried to do this thing myself for 25 years. I tried to, you know, this plan, the food plan, this food plan, you know, this way of doing it, this way, you know, got to do this, got to do that. Now I got this way, you know, and I could never do it myself. I had to have this fellowship and this partnership with the God of my understanding, and to just submit to this program and give it to him and say, man, I can't do this thing. I'm powerless. I can't do it. Thanks, Jody, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Barbara A., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your constant support of this program. So grateful that it's here, that I can come every morning, Monday through Friday, and on Sundays, and listen and connect and have relatability. I can relate to things that are being said here. I thank the previous person for sharing about Appendix 2, because every book that I've ever read, it's always been a diet book about how to lose weight, I would see something like, here's what you do. And then I would just do it. I wouldn't read anymore. Here, I'm referring to the paragraph before it says, there is a solution. That's where I would have stopped. I would have said, okay, that's the solution. Okay, I'm going to go do it. This, I cannot accomplish what has changed in my life, which is definitely a personality change. I do not think and act like I did when I was in the food. I do not fear like I did when I was in the food. Today, because of this solution, because I realize that God is doing for me things which I could never do by myself, when I fear, immediately pray. I go forward and the fear is gone. When I am resentful, jealous, angry, immediately turning to God, turning to the principles, and having that relieved. I can't live the way that I did before. Today I have this new path. And it is because picking up those simple spiritual tools, which I thought, oh, I'll never be able to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's too hard. Being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I know I keep referencing yesterday's paragraph, but it was very powerful for me. And it just leads into this paragraph that it's revolutionized my whole attitude towards life. Because God has entered into my soul, because God is there, I immediately go to Him when I'm fearful, resentful, angry, self-centered. And it just changes. I can just change simply by relying on Him and coming to these meetings and listening to how other people relate to their higher power. So grateful for the program. So grateful for all who make it possible. And this is Barbara A. from California, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. We are on page 25, the second paragraph, beginning with the great fact is just this. Who else would like to share?
Sherry M.
Sherry
M. This is Julie E.B.
Julie E.
Wendy M. Wendy M.
Stephanie L.
Wendy M. Stephanie L.
Vicky T.
Vicky T.
Vanessa G.
Okay, let's stop there. Hopefully we can get you all in. Please go ahead, Sherry M. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi there, Jody. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And the greatest fact of my life today is that I have a relationship with a higher power that is solid, it is unwavering, and it is the absolute solution to everything that could ever happen and has happened in my life. It has given me great meaning and understanding, and it's a certainty that I never thought I could have. And the only way I got that certainty, I had a theory about it, and I absolutely did third steps, and I worked the steps for, I don't know, 15 years in AA, thinking I had a relationship, but I didn't until I gave the food up. I couldn't possibly have this paragraph. This paragraph is something that went from my head to my heart. A great speaker that I love, she has a podcast on this chapter, and she said that this paragraph is a love letter from God. And I believe that to be true. This is what God is promising me as long as I just hand over my entire life. So what does that look like? Not wanting things, you know, asking God what I need instead of looking for things what I want. Being able to accept the unacceptable, forgive the unforgivable, no longer requiring that my parents actually be parents, you know, just releasing them and realizing that they were a catalyst to bring me into this world, my true parents, my higher power, which is my mother and my father, having a completely different relationship now with childhood trauma, being free from killing myself with substances, living in a fourth dimension, which means that it's like otherworldly. It's like of the physical plane, constantly seeking to know God's will, to do that, to make things right when things go astray, to travel the world, to go anywhere, a free woman that I could never go, to not be trapped to a food plan, thinking that if I just control this and that, then everything will be good, realizing that God provides whatever I need if I just keep surrendering my life. This is the biggest gift in my life, being a compulsive overeater, when I really thought it was the worst thing that could ever have happened to me in my life, and it has turned out to be the biggest gift. And I am so, so grateful, because without this horrible, deadly disease, that is selfish in nature, right? You know, having to worry about my meals and that kind of thing, that's my medicine. That is selfish. But ultimately, by following these dictates in the big book and following this, it's like laid at our feet. We have this road over here that's laid at our feet. If we just pick up these steps and follow the instructions, we don't even know what's on the other side, because the miracles are they're just endless and aplenty. So thank you so much for letting me share, and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sherry Ann from Wyoming. Julie E.B., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gracefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And wow, what does it mean for me to have had deep and effective spiritual experiences, to go from being over 100 pounds overweight, bedbound, sorry about the airplane, dying, six medical specialists, coming into hospitals that I now can work in and help other people. This is a deadly disease. 2 weeks ago, I helped someone go on hospice after 10 years of dying of anorexia and bulimia, and helped someone come out of the ICU after 733 pounds of suffering. And just being able to tell them that it's the same disease. And for me, what is the disease? My lower power voice is so much stronger. So I learned that I was powerless. I learned my life was unmanageable. I learned I couldn't restore myself to sanity. But how could I turn my will and my life over to anything else? Because what I thought was that higher power voice was a lower power voice in my head. You're not good enough. You'll never be enough. You shouldn't be doing this. I would terrorize myself, fear. I would get angry at myself, resentment. I would shame myself, harm. All the things this program helps us turn around and reframe. They were all agnostic thoughts. And instead I learned that I could be loved. Just worked through this book where someone says, okay, what's next? And growing abstinence after I put down the big ones, I found a few small ones. And 7 years later, I'm still grateful. This, I believe, is one of the most powerful prayers. I use it as a prayer, as the first prayer I encounter in the big book. God, and God's just beginning, but do for me what I can't do for myself. Because right there in that prayer is an admission that I can't do it myself. So today I pray for me, for all of you, and for those I love, that God would continue to begin to do for me what I can't do for myself. Because right there when I hit a wall, that's where I can see my higher power work. And when I fail, that's when I see my higher power loves me anyway. So thanks for letting me share in my path.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. Wendy M., please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line. This is Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. So this is just something that I say a lot, and it's really, really true in this paragraph, which is I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. And I feel like that's exactly what this paragraph is saying. We've been revolutionized. You know, this is a spiritual experience, right? It says experience there. And I love that I know that I don't know that I believe in God, but that I experience God constantly. And it happens all the time. Like, all I have to do is take an action, right? Pick up the phone. I called my sponsor. Hi, I'm in a funk. I just listened to what she had to say, and I got transformed because God was on the telephone with me. God is with me constantly. God's with me right now. I don't know what I'm saying. God knows what I'm saying. God knows what I need to do, you know? And we just have to take, like experience, take that action, and it changes. Last night, I was in a funk for days. I led a meeting. I helped a woman for at least an hour after the meeting. I felt like $1 million after that experience. Not because I am $1 million, although I am, because God creates me, but because God said, pick up the phone. God said, share at this meeting, lead the meeting. Let me speak. You know, Wendy, could you just get out of the way so that I can speak for you, so I can help these people? You know, God's plan is huge compared to mine, my little designs, my little plans, right? God, it's just like literally when I do two-way prayer in the morning, you know, God's just like, sweetheart, if you could just get out of the way, I do have the plan for you today. And that is how I experience God. And when it feels good, it's great, right? It's God. And when it feels crappy, it's not God. But I will say that experiencing God also means that I know when I'm need course correcting, right? I know when I'm off the beam. Last night, using my kid. Why? Oh, I don't have friends. I'm not dating. I think I'll use my child. See, the program doesn't say you're going to be perfect. The program says you're going to course correct. The program says, guess what? In about 2 seconds, you're going to apologize to your kid because you are using him socially, because you're sort of dating him, right? So that I don't have to feel alone. I don't have to feel lonely, right? So in a nanosecond, this is how God works. God says, does that feel icky that you're not being kind to your son? Yes, God, it feels awful. Great. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to make an amends right now. That's how I get back to God. And the minute I told my son the truth, I said, you know what? I'm using you. You know what? I need course correcting. God enters me. That is how this thing works. God is with me constantly. If it feels good, it's God. If it feels crappy, it's Wendy. And God is there to say, you know what? You've got me and I've got you. Like, you are experiencing me constantly. And the more you do that, the more you make that amends, the more you're honest and you say to your child, I'm using you. I'm absolutely using you. That is the solution. It's not perfection. It's alignment with God. It's constant contact with our creator, because our creator is with us constantly, and it feels wonderful. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy from Colorado. Stephanie M., please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Thank you, Jody, for your service and for everyone who has shared so far. And this is just an amazing paragraph. And I remember reading it with my sponsor coming out of relapse. And, you know, there's that asterisk that tells us to go to the back of the book to learn more about the spiritual experience. And the rest of the paragraph tells me what being recovered, you know, it gives me a peek under the tent. It's like like looking at not the cliff notes so much, but looking at the end, that last chapter, right? What's going to happen? Well, when I work these steps, you know, I get to connect with this God of my understanding in a way that is miraculous. And I'm going to be changed. And that really is my experience. You know, the central fact in my life used to be the food. How do I get the food? How do I get rid of the food? How do I find a food that I'm not going to gain any weight, the zero calorie food? Oh, and the central fact is, what can I take out of life? What can people do for me? You know, who's not treating me well? You know, me, self-pity,
scraping and scratching and always wanting more and it never being enough, not just the food, but nothing was ever enough because nothing could solve the spiritual problem, right? And today, imperfectly and one day at a time, you know, and surprisingly, quite frankly, because when I came here, I didn't come here to build a relationship with God. I came here to lose weight and get the diet. And, you know, when I walked into these rooms, like many years ago, it was like, okay, let me buy every piece of literature. Let me learn how to do this. I had no intention of being here all these years later. I had no intention of finding a God that could solve this problem. Oh, and by the way, that could change me in a way that is miraculous. That when I act out in a character defect and, you know, like when my selfishness crops up, I think someone kind of alluded to this in their shared about it, but I get this warning, like, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. And then I get to look at my behavior and I get to make it right. And this is not who I fundamentally am, you know. My God has changed me, and it is a miracle. And God continues to work through me and in me to do things that I never imagined were possible. Because by myself, I'm kind of screwed. Thank you all so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Would you like to take 1 minute?
Did you say Vicki? I couldn't hear you.
Yes, I did. We have just one minute, Vicki.
Sure, yeah. So a couple of words that came out, you know, miraculous, deep and effective, the central fact, revolutionized, all these things entered into my heart. I realized that I'm not a chronic relapser. I just never had recovery because I never had God. And now that I have God in my life, I get to work 6 and 7 on a daily basis because I heard that my character defects are removed on the day that I ask. So every day I pray for their removal because that's what's on top now. The food is down. God put it down. God leads it down. Maybe I put it down, but he leads it down. I don't know. We did the whole thing together. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicki T. And I'm sorry, Vanessa. Please come back Monday and share on Monday. All right. It's now time to close our meeting with a read from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Julie E.B., please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if you look for them. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.